The Tragedy of Julius Caesar by William Shakespeare. Act 2, Scene 2. A Room in Caesar's Palace. Thunder and Lightning. Caesar enters in his nightgown.
Nor heaven nor earth have been at peace tonight. Thrice hath Calpurnia in her sleep cried out, "Help, ho, they murder Caesar." Who's within?
A servant enters.
My lord.
Go bid the priests. Do present sacrifice and bring me their opinions of success.
I will, my lord.
The servant exits. Calpurnia enters.
What mean you, Caesar?
Think you to walk forth? You shall not stir out of your house today.
Caesar shall forth. The things that threaten me ne'er look but on my back. When they shall see the face of Caesar, they are vanished.
Caesar, I never stood on ceremonies, yet now they fright me. There is one within, besides the things that we have heard and seen, recounts most horrid sights seen by the watch. A lioness hath whelped in the streets, and graves have yawned and yielded up their dead. Fierce, fiery warriors fight upon the clouds in ranks and squadrons and right form of war, which drizzled blood upon the capital. The noise of battle hurtled in the air. Horses did neigh, and dying men did groan, and ghosts did shriek and squeal about the streets. Oh, Caesar, these things are beyond all use, and I do fear them.
What can be avoided, whose end is purposed by the mighty gods? Yet Caesar shall go forth, for these predictions are to the world in general as to Caesar.
When beggars die, there are no comets seen. The heavens themselves blaze forth the death of princes.
Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once. Of all the wonders that I yet have heard, it seems to me most strange that men should fear, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it will come.
The servant re-enters.
What say the augurers?
They would not have you to stir forth today. Plucking the entrails of an offering forth, they could not find a heart within the beast.
The gods do this in shame of cowardice. Caesar should be a beast without a heart if he should stay at home today for fear.
No, Caesar shall not. Danger knows full well that Caesar is more dangerous than he. We are two lions littered in one day, and I the elder and more terrible, and Caesar shall go forth.
Alas, my lord, your wisdom is consumed in confidence. Do not go forth today. Call it my fear that keeps you in the house, and not your own. We'll send Mark Antony to the Senate House, and he shall say you are not well today. Let me upon my knee prevail in this.
Mark Antony shall say I am not well, and for thy humour I will stay at home.
Decius enters.
Here's Decius Brutus. He shall tell them so.
Caesar, all hail. Good morrow, worthy Caesar. I come to fetch you to the Senate House.
And you are come in very happy time to bear my greetings to the senators and tell them that I will not come today, cannot is false, and that I dare not falser. I will not come today. Tell them so, Decius.
Say he is sick.
Shall Caesar send a lie? Have I in conquest stretched mine arm so far to be afeard to tell graybeards the truth? Decius, go tell them Caesar will not come.
Most mighty Caesar, let me know some cause, lest I be laughed at when I tell them so.
The cause is my will. I will not come. That is enough to satisfy the Senate. But for your private satisfaction, because I love you, I will let you know. Calpurnia here, my wife, stays me at home. She dreamt tonight she saw my statue, which, like a fountain, with 100 spouts, did run pure blood, and many lusty Romans came smiling and did bathe their hands in it. And these does she apply for warnings and portents and evils imminent, and on her knee hath begged that I will stay at home today.
This dream is all amiss interpreted. It was a vision fair and fortunate. Your statue, spouting blood in many pipes in which so many smiling Romans bathed, signifies that from you great Rome shall suck reviving blood, and that great men shall press for tinctures, stains, relics, and cognizance. This, by Calpurnia's dream, is signified.
And this way have you well expounded it.
I have, when you have heard what I can say, and know it now, the Senate have concluded to give this day a crown to mighty Caesar. If you shall send them word you will not come, their minds may change. Besides, it were a mock, apt to be rendered for someone to say, "Break up the Senate till another time, when Caesar's wife shall meet with better dreams." If Caesar hide himself, shall they not whisper, "Lo, Caesar is afraid"? Pardon me, Caesar, for my dear love to your proceeding bids me tell you this, and reason to my love is liable.
How foolish do your fears seem now, Calpurnia? I am ashamed I did yield to them. Give me my robe, for I will go.
Enter Publius, Brutus, Ligarius, Metellus, Casca, Trebonius, and Cinna.
And look where Publius is come to fetch me.
Good morrow, Caesar.
Welcome, Publius.
What, Brutus, are you stirred so early too?
Good morning, Casca.
Caius Ligarius, Caesar was there so much your enemy as that same ague which hath made you lean.
What is it, O'Clock?
Caesar, 'tis strucken 8.
I thank you for your pains and courtesy.
Antony enters.
See, Antony, that revels long o' nights, is notwithstanding up. Good morrow, Antony.
So to most noble Caesar.
Bid them prepare within. I am to blame to be thus waited for. Now, Cinna.
Now, Metellus.
What, Trebonius? I have an hour's talk in store for you. Remember that you call on me today.
Be near me, that I may remember you.
Caesar, I will.
He speaks aside.
And so near will I be, that your best friends shall wish I had been further.
Good friends, go in and taste some wine with me, and we like friends will straightway go together.
Brutus speaking aside.
That every like is not the same, O Caesar. The heart of Brutus yearns to think upon.
They exit. The end of Act 2, Scene 2 of The Tragedy of Julius Caesar. Read by Rick Kistner. For Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.